We are quite privileged this morning because the first part of our sharing, you see the picture up there, are our FECA, our Association Supported Missionaries, Tung and Ching. We invite them to come up. Let's give them a hand. Just two mics. I think it's both mics.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Pastor Manjin. We praise God for this morning for the privilege sharing. I would like to introduce our family first. This is our family picture. The center, Coop and Hannah, they married in July this year. Now they both serving as missionary in Bangkok, Thailand. And the other side was Dr. Nan and her husband, their two children, Eden and Alice. They are in Santa Fe Spring. Of course, he's a police officer, but they are involved in church planting ministry also. And we are from India, not from Thailand, working in Thailand. By God's grace, we had been involved in God's ministry for the last 45 years, since 1973. And we thank God for that. We work here. Next slide, please. We came from India after 15 working in the church, 15 years. Then in Bangkok, 11 years in church planting and regional director of OMF International. Then they called us to teach in Asian Theological Seminary in Manila, 10 years, where I was teaching. Ching was involved in urban poor ministry, and we both involved in international students ministry for the school, the seminary. And also then they call us back to Chiang Mai Theological Seminary in Thailand, where we teach about 4 years, but they give us a regional leader of North Thailand for OMF. And also we teach as a dean from Asian Cross-Cultural Training Institute in Singapore. Until today, we continue that ministry as well. We work in Thailand, Chiang Mai, next. 8 years.
Next slide.
Then we'll be moving to India. This is our photo. In Bangkok, we serve with church planting as regional director, then Manila. Then the rest that I spoke about, Singapore and Thailand. Next slide, please. This is next program for 2019. We'll be going back to India, stay in Assam province, said, which is not our state. You can see the arrow pointed place, the center place, but that is the most needy area for outreach. About 87% are Christians. In other states, 90%, 78%, and more. So, highly Christian population. However, this area, Assam, is not our state. We are from Manipur, so we'll be working here. Our focus will be mobilizing mission and also training missionaries and prospective missionaries, and consultations with churches. And also, we'll be involved in college students and other dormitory ministry for equipping young people for mission. And also, since we'll be staying in the middle of the needy people, we'll be involved in church planting or outreach. You'll be interested to know this Assam is where they compose a song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, No Turning Back, No Turning Back." Originally, it came from this state. So very interesting.
Thank you so much, Pastor Monzen. Very gracious, giving more time. When we think about India, as a whole, India, 3% Christian. But when we talk about Northeast India, 8 states, that is where we come from. The above is China and below is Myanmar. the small gap, that we should be either China or Myanmar, but this is how the British make a boundary, so we are Indian. That's why we come from that part. We really thank God for your prayers, especially many things to thank God, but one thing I would like to tell is that last year, Tang had a tumor, which is cancerous in his upper stomach. So it was removed, and then thank God that the cancer cells, everything was dead already through the biopsy we can see. That's why God gave us life, so now we could continue our work. He's cancer-free, praise God. So continue to pray. Because of your prayer, he's cancer-free. So we want you to continue to pray for us because we can do God's work because he's in good health. And then the immediate one will be, we're leaving tomorrow night, but from Wednesday, November 1 to 4, we'll be having university students camping. There are 200 registered already. So just pray for us that we'll have wisdom and discernment, make impact for them to go for mission. So this will be our immediate one. And then as our settling back in India, it's not easy. We move from India, sell everything what we have, then working with Indian Evangelical Mission for 2 years. After that, we work with OMF International until today. 10 years in Bangkok, then we could not bring our stuff, so we came to Manila. God prepared some people. So there, God provide our needs. Then from Manila, after 10 years, we moved back to Thailand. God continued to provide our needs because we cannot bring all these things. Now from Thailand, we're moving to India in Assam. We come from Manipur, the black one, but we'll not be going to stay in our state, but we'll be staying in Assam. So there also, God, the one who called us, is faithful. We believe that he will continue to be faithful in our life as well as in your life. Continue to pray for us. As we journey together, we'll update our ministry in the days to come. And we really appreciate we could come here more often to worship with you than other churches. That's why we feel at home here. At the same time, your beloved pastor and his wife has been such wonderful, good friends since the first time we came to USA more than 20 years ago. So that's why we feel at home here. Brothers and sisters, thank you, and let's continue to do God's work. If God leads you to come to India, let us know. Come for a holiday with a purpose. Thank you very much.
What you may not know, Tang and Ching are actually Chinese, but they were born in India. That's why Ching's name is Ching. And Tang is Tang, right? So that's Chinese names. But they are Chinese, they're born in India. But eternal missionaries, 40-some years. What a wonderful blessing it is. Let's all stretch out our hands and just pray for this couple. Father, we thank you so much for blessing Tang and Ching with two granddaughters. And we thank you so much that the son, Coop, is now married and also in missions. Father, we thank you because generation upon generation, you continue to bless them. Now, Lord, as they move to this new territory, to move to this new work, we pray your blessings to continue upon them. That, Lord, they will have many, many years of good health, many, many years of productive ministry. That they will also be traveling from India back to Singapore, back to different places, back to Thailand. That, Lord, all their travels will be protected. That, Lord, you'll give them many, many years of fruitful ministry. Thank you so much, Lord, and we pray tomorrow for Journey Mercies as they go and begin their new phase of ministry. Thank you so much for the partnership that we have in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's give them a hand again. Okay, this morning we have a special missions speaker, and I'm going to ask Beth to introduce her.
Good morning. It is an honor for me to, for the first time, to get to introduce a very dear friend of mine. I know she would like to be called Servant of the Lord. Her name is Reverend Patricia Catwell. In the Philippines, she goes by, or they call her Sister Pat, but again, she's not a nun, but she's just somebody who loves the Lord. So I would say, I think I'm going to start with She's been a missionary for over 40 years, and again, founder and director of Institute for Foundation Learning, where they try to reach out to underprivileged individuals, families, communities through areas of socioeconomic, education, agriculture, livelihood, disaster relief. We were together somewhere in the Katrina Relief Project. And then, again, the Lord really has used her to bless my life tremendously. And but again, just to tell you a little bit of my story about Pat, I've met her for almost 30 years. So she knows my pre and my post-Christian era. What I would say is this. I met her in a hospital setting. The rest are the Lord's work. And one time we were on our way home, we were on the road, and Pat asked me that let's pull over. She saw this stranger who's curled up in pain. I told her, Pat, in the Philippines, we don't just stop in the middle of the road. And it's so common to see homeless kids, adults. So, but she said, let's just pull over. So we pull over. She not only ministered or prayed for this guy, she even says, let's get him some food. She even asked me, is there any pharmacy store? So that she wants to get him some medication. I remember it was antacid at that time. And lastly, she even went back, she ministered to him, even asked whether you need a job or just something to do. So that in itself, it really speaks volume to me. Since then, it really, I would say, changed radically the way I view Christianity. So again, other than having, now that we get a chance to get together again at least so often, but this year, I know it has been really special, other than today's her special day, but I just realized while she has already opened almost several centers, like almost 500 centers, schools in areas like Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Thailand, before you know it, you might probably know each other, the Chinatown, and also in Saudi Arabia, Philippines, of course, Hong Kong, even in Canada. So again, just how she demonstrated the love of God in actions, not just to this stranger, to me and my family. So that really has changed the way I view Christianity. So church, let's welcome our speaker, Pat Padwell.
Do you want to hold, or do you want this one, or do you want to hold? This is okay.
One thing about Beth, one time it was with her family that I learned how to use chopsticks. She may not remember this, but we were in a Chinese restaurant, my first time ever to use these two pieces of sticks to eat with. And I put it like this and my food flew across the table. I don't know if you remember that. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much and give you all the glory for this time that we have together. I thank you that you are sovereign Lord and sovereign King over the entire earth and in our lives. And Lord, let this word reach into the deepest part of our being and cause us, O God, to remember and to walk in it for your purpose and glory. We give you all the honor and praise in your mighty name. Amen. We want to talk about embracing the Father and being called as a friend. You know, there is a song that goes something like this. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Do you know that song?
Yes.
Really? Really? Are we really friends of God? Are we really? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question is this. I want you to think about your best friend. Whether it would be your husband, your wife, or your very best friend. I want you to think about that person
And the first thing I want you to think about is what drew you to that person. And then the second thing I want you to think about, and be ready because I'm going to ask you questions. I know in Chinese churches you don't like to talk, but I'm going to let you talk anyway. Because I see you outside, you talk, 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 inside you. I mean, we know how it is. And don't worry, I understand. Chinese churches nearly kill me because I have to take 4 days of lecture and put it into 23 minutes. I'll get you out in time. By God's grace. Pastor Will, tell me. The second question is, what did you do? The first question. Okay, what was it about that person that drew you to that person and you wanted to be friends with that person? You wanted to know that person more. And then the second question is, what did you do in order to develop that relationship? Okay, I'm going to give you 3 minutes. I want you to close your eyes. Don't sleep, huh? Close your eyes and think of your best friend. Think of someone that you really love dearly. What drew you to that person? And then the second question. What did you do to develop that relationship? So that they would in fact become best friends with you. Okay, now I'm going to ask you questions. I'll start with Beth because best friend. Okay, Beth. What drew you to whoever that best friend is? What was it that drew you to that person? Kind? Generous? Loving. Okay, so you saw a person that was kind, generous, and loving. Then the next question is, what did you do to develop that relationship? You hung out together, spent time together. Grace, I can call in people that I know. She said, I didn't come here for this. Grace, by the way, is a principal, was principal of the school in Davao, Cagayan de Oro, and her husband, the pastor of one of the churches there in Cagayan, Philippines. And it's my joy to be with them here. He's studying his doctorate in Fuller. First question, what drew you to your friend? Okay, the joy of knowing her and being understood by her and vice versa.
He loved me.
He loved you. Okay.
I love you back.
Okay. Okay, so then the next question is, what did you do to develop that relationship?
We cared for
each other. How did you do that? Okay, so you talked a lot. You shared. Okay, good. Okay, so you shared, so you spent time together?
Or? Yes, sure.
So you spent time together, you showed that you cared and loved the person. Okay, good. Everybody's going like this. Best friend. I know who your best friend is. Best friend. What drew you to that person? Okay, so there was a commonality. there was something that drew you because you had things in common. Okay, and what did you do to develop that relationship? Spend time together. Isn't that interesting? Okay, and I bet you think I'm not going to call you. You're right, I'm going to call him. He was so happy, he was saying, it's true though. Okay, you were kind, funny, there was a nurturing. What caused you to continue or to develop that relationship? Great. You wanted to be like them, you wanted to share, you wanted to spend time with them. Now I'm going to call on you. He would say, I'm out of this. No, you're not. You're good. Relax. Okay, so tell me, what drew you? Okay, so you had something in common hobby. Okay. Okay. Okay, so again, they talked with each other. They spent more time with each other. Oh no, not me. I need to pick on you because I was just with you.
Well, I wanted to be like a person.
Okay. So there was something about that person you wanted to be like. So what did you do to enhance that relationship? Okay. Spend time. Okay. All the rest of you go like this. One, two, three. Because I'm not going to ask you. Okay. This is the key.
In John chapter 15, in verse 15, it says, "No longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friend." I'm no longer calling you servant, but I'm calling you friends. And I think I want you to get this. When we first think about God, we think about a creator, don't we? We think, well, we know that he created the heavens and the earth, and we know he's a creator. But that's somehow a distant thing. So that's like just looking at it. And then when you become a Christian, we know him as our Savior. But after we know him as our Savior, and we begin to develop with him, we're reading, we're hearing the word, we're going to church, and our relationship begins to somehow develop an understanding of who he is. We start calling him Father because we realize that the Bible says he's our Father. Abba, Father, or Daddy, Daddy. That's what Abba means, Daddy. So we're calling him Daddy now. We're calling him Father. Okay, we say Father, it's formal. And then we go from the formal to the Daddy. That's more personal. But very few Christians, very few Christians ever get to the point where we call him friend. We have already talked about what it takes to develop a friendship and what draws us, what drew us to Jesus was his love for us. He cared for us. He somehow, it didn't matter to him who we were because we could see that his word says he loves us. And though we may not know him personally at that point, we begin to study his word. We begin to go to church and we begin to get involved a little bit more. We begin to talk to more people and we begin to spend time with him. But the majority of people today, as Christians, this is how we spend our time. 5-minute devotions.
How much time did it take you to develop your friendship? 5 minutes? Or was it a longer period of time? How many times did you call someone up and say, hey, let's go have coffee? And when was the last time that you asked Jesus to sit down and have coffee with you? I never thought about that. But when we sit down and have coffee with someone, it means to say we want to communicate with them. It means to say that we want to share with them, but we want them to share with us. And so when was the last time we sat quietly listening to our Lord? Which way?
I don't know if I'm controlling it or they are. Okay. In Jeremiah chapter 9, in verses 23 and 24, okay, it says this. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory. It really does say that. Just wait. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am a Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. In Jeremiah, it says, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. That he understands and knows me. It's one thing to read the Word of God. It's one thing to come to church and occupy a seat or a pew. But it's another thing to really know him. I have many, many people that will say that I'm friends with Tita Pat. They don't call me Sister Pat too often. They call me Tita, meaning auntie. I'm friends with Tita Pat. I'm friends with Pat. And someone will say, do you know who they are? And I'm thinking, well, could you refresh my memory? Because, you know, I speak to thousands of people every year. We minister in many, many places, and I honestly can't say that I'm friends with everybody. People come up to me and say, I love you so much. Thank you. But really? In the true sense of love, really? Or is it just the gushishi? I love you. Because that's what we're supposed to say. But love takes time. Knowing someone. The word know here in the Bible is a very, very different word than know, Pastor. It's very, very different. The way I know Beth after 30 years is very, very different than the way I know Pastor. Why? Because we spend time together. Because we're friends. What is it? That word know is an intimate word. It's not a word that says, I know you. Oh, yeah, I know. I saw them the other day. Yeah, I know them. What was their name? I know them. Yeah, I know. I know them. I know. Have you ever seen somebody, they're walking down and you know their face? I know that person. That's not the same know. The know that they're talking about here is a very personal know. It's a relational know that says, I know who you are and you know who I am, and we have shared our life together. Very different. That works better. Okay. Okay. In Psalm chapter 25 and verse 14, it says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." But in the French Bible, it says this, and I think this is the accurate translation. In Psalm 25:14, in a French Bible, it says, "The intimate communion of the Lord is with them that fear him." We look at some, why do we have to fear God? We're supposed to love God. And when we love God, do we have to be afraid of them? Well, let me ask you something. If your father, you love your father very, very much, right? But when he speaks, when my father spoke to me and he said, "You eat," guess what I did? I ate. Really? No problem. Because I knew what was coming after that. Why? Did I fear my dad? No. I loved him with all of my heart. But I knew he meant business. I knew he was my authority. I knew he was the one that had control over what was going to happen in my next 5 minutes of life and so forth. Do we know that with our God? Because that's the knowing. And that's the kind of fear that we're talking about. The intimate communion of the Lord. And I think about the intimate communion that God had when he created Adam and Eve. I think about this a lot. Oftentimes I cry out to God and I say, "God, I want that." Because the Bible says that before the fall, every night, in the cool of the evening, I'm in the Philippines, I like cool of evenings. Philippines has hot, I don't do cold. When I came here, this is my 6th week here, I'm on my way back to the Philippines in a couple of days, and before I came, I said to God, "I don't do cold, God. I don't do cold. Remember that you sent me to the Philippines. I'm from New York. It's cold here. You sent me to the Philippines. I don't do cold." Every place I went, it was lovely weather. God is so good. Every place I went, they said, "You know, it was just raining or it was below zero." I'm amazed. I said, "I'm not. Because I don't do cold. But the cool of the night, I do." How awesome would it be that God would just walk in the garden with them? There's a song that says, "And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own." Wouldn't that be awesome that he's walking with us and he's talking with us? God, he's talking to us, he cares about us that much. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be amazing? And yet, that's the very thing that he wants from us. Is that we have that intimate communion with him. And that from the very point of the fall, he has been doing everything to bring us back to that communion with Father. And even so much as giving us his son to die on the cross of Calvary. Just so that we could have that communion again. And you said, "No, it's to take away our sins." You sure it is. Because sin separates us from God. And when we've accepted Christ as our Savior, and the blood of Jesus has been poured over us and within us, and all of the sins have been taken away, we have not only the right, but the awesomeness of being able to walk and talk with him in the garden. But we don't. Because it requires intimacy. Are you with me? Nobody's snoring, so I guess you got it. Are you with me? It requires intimacy. Praise the Lord. Most of the choicest things of God are not on the superficial levels, but most of the choicest things of God lie beneath. If I look at Moses, you know, during the time that the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt, and now they were going around the wilderness for 40 years, Moses built a tabernacle. The Bible says on the outside of their little cul-de-sac, on the outside of their community, on the outside of their camp where they were in camp. He built it, the Bible says, afar off. Why do you think he built it afar off? And we say, no, you put the church right in the center. Put it in the center of the community. So everybody can come. And he built it afar off. Why? Because those that were determined wouldn't mind going the distance for their sacrifices to God. And what sacrifice will satisfy him? A pure heart. He says, a pure heart, that's what I long for. What sacrifice? Your time. Exactly what you said that you needed. Exactly what you said you needed in order to develop your friendship is exactly what you need. It's exactly what you need to develop your relationship with God. It's exactly what you need. It's exactly what you need to develop that relationship. Oftentimes you may pray and you may feel nothing at all. You may feel like, I'm praying, but what's the use? What's the use? I'm praying, but what's the use? There's no purpose in it. I don't feel God. But you know, every time someone says, I don't feel God, I always sing this song to them. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Because we're so involved as a people in what we feel. I don't feel like going. I don't feel that I want to talk to that person. I don't feel like this, or I don't feel like that. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. We don't function by feelings as Christians. You know what we function by? The knowledge that He is omnipresent. We function by the fact that we know that sovereign God has told us that He will never leave us and He will never forsake us whether we feel His presence or not. And so when we pray, we can have confidence that He's there. We can have confidence that He is there. We can be assured that He heard us, even though we don't feel that He does. Thanks. I want us to take a look at Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. The Lord has always a way of getting our attention. We just talked about that a few minutes ago. But the Lord has always a way of getting our attention. The question is whether we listen or not. I bless Him for the still small voice that I can hear. It's painful when His voice gets louder because we didn't listen. Moses, in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4, it says, behold, the bush burned with fire, but it is not consumed. I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses!" And he said, "Here am I." Beloved, let me just show you something. First of all, there was a bush. It is not you saying, "Oh, that's, you know, if that happened to me, man, I would know." Really? You have fires here all the time. It's common in the desert for bushes to be on fire. It is not uncommon, it is more common because of the extreme heat. It is common, especially when everything is so dry. It's common. But there was something unusual about this one. Surely Moses, as a shepherd, had seen burning bushes before. No big deal. Either you let it burn or you put it out, no big deal. But the Bible says this about it. It says, "Behold, the bush burned with fire, but is not consumed." And then he made a determination. He said, "I will turn aside." What that means is, I will stop my activity. I will stop what important things are happening. I will stop everything. I'm going to turn this. I'm going to look at what this is. This is different. This is different. One time, many, many years ago, I was driving along in Arizona because I was working on the Navajo Indian Reservation at the time as a mission. And I was driving back home from somewhere, I can't remember. I was driving back to the reservation. And it was late at night. And I looked up in the sky. And I saw something very strange. It was so strange that I couldn't resist. I had to stop the car and get out of the car and look up. I just stared and stared. I said, "Huh? What is that?" And I just kept quiet. I said, "What is that?" But everybody passed me by. Nobody stopped. Nobody was paying attention. I got out of the car. What is that? The next day I found out it was a Russian, what do you call it? Satellite that had blown up. And I saw it blow up. I saw it in the sky. I was like, "I saw that. That's cool. I saw that." But how many people passed by and never saw it? Because they didn't stop and look at something that was unusual. Now, I'm not saying that was a God thing, but it was a good thing. And it was a lesson that God showed me. He stepped aside. That's number one. Number two, I want you to see this. It says, "And when the Lord saw," see, he tried to get his attention. "And when the Lord saw that he had his attention, he spoke to him." How many times do we go before the Lord and we say, "Lord, I need this and this and this and this and this," and you give him your Christmas list. It's your shopping list. It's your grocery list of things that you need. And you say, "In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen." And you go off and do your thing. And you say, "Wait. Oh, later. Tomorrow." In the Philippines, we have a word that we say. It's aray. The word aray means ouch. Can you say with me, aray? Or one, two, three. Very good. Ouch. Because we are guilty, isn't it? No, don't answer that. I know you're not guilty. Right? Or right. Right. So, the third thing I want you to see in this scripture is, number one, he turned aside. He acknowledged there was something different. Number two, When God saw he turned aside, he spoke. Number three, when he spoke, Moses replied. Immediately. Our immediate response is critical. When we feel that the Lord is saying something, and you open your ears and feelings, but you know there's an inward knowing, there's something there that's different. And if we obey that, God will begin to speak to our heart. You say, what do you mean speak? Does he speak? Does he speak openly? Does he just speak to you verbally? Well, he could. God is God, and he could. I've heard the verbal voice of God. You say, right, what does it sound like? Well, you wouldn't want to know. I was rebuked, actually. That was his. You want to know the story? Yeah, because I was rebuked, that's why you want to know. What were you rebuked for, Pastor? I was rebuked because I was in Bible school. That wasn't the reason for being rebuked. But the reason for being rebuked is because I had a roommate that I didn't like. She was the opposite of me in every way. I was quiet. You wouldn't believe that now, but it's true. I was really quiet. She was noisy. I would put things away. She would have things scattered. I would be studying diligently. She would be in bed. Are you with me? I would eat and be so quiet in eating and having a little snack. And she would take the apple. And when it was done, she would go from the top and hit the trash can. And one day, one night, when we were coming out of chapel and we were so holy, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, we love you, Lord. And everybody was gone. For some reason, I was alone, and I was walking up the aisle. And as I was walking up the corridor, I saw my roommate going that way. And the Lord said, and I stopped. And I turned around. And as I turned, the Lord audibly spoke to me, and he said this, if you don't love her, you don't love me. And that's my reaction. What? But you're impressed to do a certain thing or impressed to go to a certain place.
That's what God does. Next. In John chapter 10 and verses 4 and 5, it says, "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." I know quite a bit about sheep because I lived for 3 years on the Navajo Indian Reservation and their shepherds. And what I know is that if a shepherd will call for his sheep, they will all come. If he just stands there, they all come to him. He has a certain way, and they will just come because he spent a lifetime with them. And they know him. But if that shepherd would go into another flock, they would ignore him totally. In fact, they would move away from him. They would be afraid of him. But the reason why these sheep would follow that shepherd is because that shepherd spent time with those sheep. And so the sheep knows his voice. They know his certain call. And no one else has his voice or his call. And beloved, it's only when we spend that time with our shepherd that we know his voice. And we know his call. And you know the story about Samuel. I'm sure you know the story. Was Samuel, the Lord was calling, "Samuel, Samuel." And the time, the Bible says that it was an appointment, then that the light was almost that the existence of God in the community was almost non-existent except for Samuel. Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli 3 times until Eli realized, hey, it's God calling him. But in the Hebrew, that word, it would say, and it says that Samuel didn't yet know the word of God. But that word, the word actually is not translated correctly. The word means he didn't know the voice of God. That's a big difference. We may be able to study the word of God. We may be able to, as a hymnal, Bible. We may be able to study the word of God. Is that a hymnal? Bible. I can't tell. We may be able to study and never know him. We can know, we could quote the scripture from the front to the back and never know him. Because all we did was read a book. And we never knew the author. It's very critical that we understand that. The time we spend waiting on the Lord is tremendously important. And finally, Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 17 and 21. It says, "I love them that love me." This is an awesome scripture. "I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance and will fill their treasures." Let me say it again. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. One of the things lacking in God's people today is substance. Like I said, it doesn't matter how many times we read the Bible. I mean, it doesn't matter. Sorry, Pastor. It doesn't matter how many times we read the Bible. We should read it with all of our heart, but it matters how we read it. Do we read it just because it's a diligent thing that we ought to do? because it's our obligation to God? Or do we read it because we want to know Him? Because we want to love Him more? Thank you, Pastor.
I love them that love me. If I look at you and I say, how many of you love God? Raise your hand. Okay, only four of you. Okay, the rest of you. I know you're Chinese. You can do this. How many of you love God? You. But how many of us develop the relationship? How many of us develop the relationship of love? Because love takes time. I can superficially say I love you. But I can't, in all honesty and integrity, hug you and say, I love you. Do you see the difference? I can say I love you with God's love, but I don't know who you are, and you don't know me. But if I help those people that I really love, that I've developed a relationship with, that's a different thing. I love those that love me. I've seen kids that have been amazing. We work with kids that are in horrible conditions, that have been abused in many, 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 many ways you couldn't even think of. But when we show them love, they love us back. When He shows us love, we have to show Him love back by spending time with Him. Says, those that seek me early, those that seek me early will find me, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. What greater treasure than to know Him personally? Beloved, this morning, I'm on Philippine time. This morning, if you go home with anything at all, by the grace of God, you will. Let it be this, that love takes time. And that if we say we love someone, we need to take time with them. Husbands and wives, if you say you love each other, stop doing so much business stuff and spend time with one. Because it's in spending time that you get stronger and stronger, and that your love grows deeper and deeper. With your children, the same, spend time with them. But more than all of that, Christ must be the center of everything you do. And if He is the center, then He is the most important. Don't you want to come to a point where you can satisfy the heart of God the Father and walk with Him in the cool of the night? Talk with Him as He shares His secrets with you. How many of us want to know the secrets of God? We only tell secrets to people we trust. And trust only comes with time. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to be faithful, to develop, Lord God, that relationship with You. The very relationship, Father God, that You have desired to have with us, that You had with Adam and Eve as they, before they sinned. Lord, as they walked with You and talked with You in the garden. For Lord, You created man for Your pleasure. The Bible says, for this reason You created us. For Your pleasure.
And yet we just live for our own pleasure. Forgive us, Lord. And help us to realize that you created us in all of your infinite wisdom, grace, compassion, and love. You created us for your purpose, to fellowship with you. And Lord, we thank you for it now. You created a perfect world and we messed it up. Your people messed it up over the years, Lord. We fell away from understanding the perfectness of God and the beauty of your universe. And now help us again to truly know you and develop that relationship with you. Bless each one that is your God. Strengthen their relationship with one another and strengthen their relationship with you. That you may be honored, that you may be glorified. We bless you and we lift you up now in your mighty name. Amen. And God bless you all.
Thank you, Sister Pat. We invite everybody to stay today for our fellowship. Let's all stand for the benediction. Receive the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one, now till we see each other again through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
We're also celebrating birthdays this month, and it is Sister Pat's birthday today. Okay, you're dismissed.